Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you today, Yahweh, and we do thank you. We ask that your anointing rest upon your word today, that it may be a strength to the hearts of your people, and that we may apply it to our lives. We ask all things in Messiah's mighty name. Hallelujah. Yahweh, we bless you. You may be seated. We give him great thanks today and reverence for all that he has done. What a mighty thing that he has done in the midst of his congregation. And that is the call out elected ones according to the mercies and the love kindness of Almighty Yahweh. That he may speak unto the hearts of his house and prepare them for the onslaught that is ahead. The forces of hell that are warring against the integrity of whom Yahweh is. And that is what it's all about, the identity of whom he is. Because in that identity, we know who we worship. If you don't know who you worship, then your worship is in vain. It has no strength or power. It doesn't produce anything at all. And if we truly look over the thing that we have called Christendom, if you honestly look back even at your life and take a true analysis on your life, you can see how least productive your life was. It did not produce the fruit of Yahweh. It did not produce the power of his righteous laws dwelling in your soul, that he was in your thought morning, noon, day, whatever time. He was constantly on your mind. Now the power of supremacy that rule in us, it is the thing that is always constantly on our minds. Now if you do a self-examination of yourself, you can't even find out what things or thing your mind gives much attention to. You think about it often. It is constantly on your thoughts. It is constantly dominating your thinking process. And in everything you do, that is a part of that. Well, that has become the supreme power of your life. It rules in your spirit. That is where the law of the spirit dwells in a man. It is in his mind. And whatever your mind is given over unto, and that your mind delight in being occupied with that, that has become the supreme identity in your life. You identify with that every time you think of it. And so your mind is constantly on that, and everything else is built around that. If Yahweh is not the center and the focus of your life, that everything you build around him or around that thing that is, it will be based upon what is the focus and the center of your life. That is why we must set all of our affection upon him. We must love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength. We must. Because in doing that, then everything we do will be built around him. And what we build around him will be the exaltation of him, his kingdom power, his authority that he yields in your life. And men will see that truly you are the son of Almighty Yahweh. And in that you will begin to produce the fruit that is acceptable unto the mighty king. The fruit of this generation, they're not even sparse. They're not even rotten fruit. There are no fruit at all. No righteousness, what we call love today, it is simply a fabrication of feelings and emotions. Has nothing to do with Yahweh at all. What a wife truly loves her husband, according to Scripture, she does what Scripture says. What a husband truly loves his wife, then he does what Scripture says. That he is willing to die, he will sacrifice to make sure that the body is intact. And when the wife truly loves her husband, she submits in all things as Scripture commands her to do that. And so what we call to love today, it has been brought by our emotional tirades, our emotional feelings, and we constitute that as love. But that is not love. It is simply a feeling. And that is why men today cannot love Yahweh. Because his laws go contrary against our feelings and our flesh. A man says that he loves Yahweh and keep not the commandments of the Father, then he is a liar and there is no truth in that man at all. He is of his Father. He is of his Father, the devil. And so he obeys the charge and the commands of his daddy, Shatan. And Yahweh in this hour, as he did with Jeremiah, as he stood in the gate of the temple, he had to bring the understanding to the hearts of the people, how they may understand how to worship Yahweh. How they must worship Yahweh. And there is one consensus in that worshiping of Yahweh. What we have today is a fragmented folly that we call worship. And it is not worship at all. I believe in the praises and the exaltation of Yahweh, but the heathens do that. They lift up their titan gods. They lift up the bobcats and the bearcats. They will lift up the Spartans. They will lift up the eagles. They will lift up the Packers. They will lift up all kinds of gods. And so the heathens have enough understanding to know that there must be an obeisance or accolades of praises unto that one or the thing that is supreme and superior in their lives. And when Yahweh becomes that supreme, mighty power in our lives, then we acknowledge him by obedience unto his commandments and his laws. There's a law when you go to the football stadium to watch a football game. If you are in your home stadium, then you must cheer when everyone cheers. And if you don't, then you will become an eyesore there. And some drunk will probably pour beer on you, or they will rebuke you for not doing that. They will say, "What fan are you? Did you come to cheer the Panthers, the Eagles, and all of their gods, the very unclean beasts? You never see the chickens. You never see the goats. You never see the royal lambs. Those are not the identities of their gods. They're all unclean beasts. You will never see that. You will never see the bass. You will never find those names to be a part of any kind of god that the masses of the people worship. You will find panthers. You will find eagles. You would even find the vultures. But you will not find the chicken or the guinea. You will not find those titles amongst those heathen identities that they have called divine. And they are divine things unto them, so in their worship, they must first of all acknowledge the laws and the principles of worshiping that beast or that thing. They must do that. And the reason they do that, because they know whom they are worshiping. Now this is a generation that has not perceived whom Yahweh is. To know someone is to perceive. And to perceive is to understand them or that person. We must understand who he is and what he is. And he cannot be some elusive personality that we know nothing about. He must identify himself in a way that it gives us confidence that we have faith in his testimony, what he has done, that we truly can offer up unto him oblations of worship. That is to fall before him, to bow down, to honor, to acknowledge, to call upon him in a personal way. You will never go to a football, a basketball game,
And they will say, go team. They will say, go Panthers. Or go Eagles. Or go Titans. Those are the phrases that they use to invoke the spirit of that beastly nature to fill the hearts of the players. Because their hearts are already filled with those kinds of spirits. Their hearts are already overtaken by unclean spirits. And what Yahweh is doing at this hour, He will have an assembly, a congregation of people from all walks of life, from every ethnicity, race, color, from one extreme to the other. And they will be people scattered abroad throughout the entire earth, and they will come together collectively in the spirit of truth and righteousness, and they will worship the Father. They will acknowledge Him. They will bless Him. And then His name only will be lifted up from this fleshly, carnal tabernacle that only likes to lift up itself. The flesh only loves lifting up itself. It thinks very highly of itself. It thinks very little of others, only itself. I was reading an article and the man said, if I cannot see others that are better than me, that I may be inspired to be like that or to get to that acclaim, then I will go no farther than what I am, because there are those that have much more knowledge than I do. They have a better and a more perfect understanding of things than I do. And they have the ability to understand complexities that I don't understand. And so when I began to do certain things, I will have that specific person in mind that I may acclaim to that position or to that perspective in life. That I can do what they are doing. He never once denoted that He wanted to excel above them, because He already knows that they are above Him. So His desire is that there are things and traits about them that are very important that I must bring and appropriate that into my life. And in doing that, He said, I can be the very best at what I do. We must know Messiah and see what He has done, and see our shortcomings and our faults and our insufficiencies, that we may acclaim to the point and the place that we truly can attest and testify to the fact that we are the begotten sons of Yahweh. And it's not going to be the house like the football game or the basketball game. It's simply going to be a small collection of His people. And that's it. And the message of truth must be inspired in the hearts of the people. And they must worship. And that is to fall in His presence and acknowledge Him and bless His name, because they know whom they are worshiping. I want to, on this Shabbat, lay out a foundation for things to come. I want to begin reading in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 1. The word of Yahweh. Scripture says, Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying. So Scripture tells us where the word came from. It did not come by some inspired invention of Jeremiah, but it came from the bosom of the Father that He personally spoke to Jeremiah. Now He had to know who spoke to Him. There had to be a distinct difference between His own mind speaking to Him, His own thoughts and His own precepts and concepts speaking to Him, than the voice of Almighty Yahweh. Scripture does not tell us that it was an audible voice, but yet the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah. We have said that God spoke to me. Well, it was according to our own feelings or emotions or our precepts or our thoughts about a certain thing, and we perceive that it was, quote, God speaking to us. Now, the word of Yahweh that came unto Jeremiah, it was specific. It was food for the house of Israel. Yahweh does not just speak to you with a word that it does not, or he does not intend for it to spread abroad, for the house to be strengthened, to be edified, and to walk in that anointing. Because every word that he speaks unto us, it is a pure word. It is a word of strength. It is a word of power. So we know whom spoke unto Jeremiah. It was not his thoughts. It was not his mind. It was not a circumstance in his life that invoked certain words that he thought that would be charming or pleasing unto him. But the word came straight from the bosom of Yahweh. First of all, he told him to stand. And that is what we need to do at this hour. To stand still and see the salvation, the Yahshua of Almighty Yahweh. We need to stand still and see the Yahshua of Yahweh. We need to know whom he is today, saints. We need to perceive him and to know him when he speaks, when he is in your presence. For Yahweh is a spirit. And we that are true worshipers, we began in spirit and then in the truth of whom he is and who we are. And the only way you're going to know who you are, you must examine your heart. How? Well, by the laws of Yahweh. And see whether there is sin in your life. Whether you are transgressing against the Father. So the first command was to stand. Stand in the place where I charge you. Let no man condemn you. Do not be intimidated. Do not be inferior. Do not have a sense that you are little worth. Because I've charged you with a command and a charge and a duty. He said, stand in a specific place in the gate of Yahweh's house. You stand in the place whereby the voice will reverberate. And men will know that I've given you the charge. You stand in the place whereby men will hear the words. And proclaim there this word. Specific word. And when one proclaims something, they must speak it vociferous, that men may know what is the proclamation. Well, how is the proclamation sealed? By the knowing of whom has sent the proclamation. So that is the only way we will know what Yahweh has said or what Messiah said was truth. Is that we know who sent him. And if we don't know who sent him, then what he says doesn't mean much at all. You must know who sent Messiah. That is very important to know who sent Messiah. And the things that he proclaimed, they had to be sealed, and they were sealed by his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. He said, these are the words, or this word, I want you to proclaim and say, hear. First of all, hear. Messiah said, this is the first commandment. Hear ye, O Israel. First of all, we must hear. And this is the generation that will not hear. They will shut their hearts and their minds to spiritual things, but yet they will gravitate to things that are totally carnal and fleshly. Gossip. Lies, foolishness, frivolity. They will be consumed by those things. Idleness of speech. Words that do not prosper or profit anyone at all. It brings about divides, separation, tension, strife, bitterness, evil surmising, hatred, respect a person. That is not the spirit of the law of Yahweh. That is the spirit of the law of hell. Because the enemy comes to seek and to divide and separate from the laws of Yahweh. That is why we have thousands, tens of thousands of bylaws, denominations, rituals, rites, yet Yahweh gave us a simple 10. And from that you have hundreds of thousands of bylaws. The holiness of the true temple, their bylaws are different than the holiness of the right temple. The Pentecostals of the Lord Jesus Christ, their bylaws are different than the Pentecostals of America. Yet Yahweh gave us 10 simple laws. And in these laws bring about the excellency of the worshiping or the worship of Yahweh, because it sets a man's mind and his heart apart from the carnal laws of the flesh, that he will not fulfill the laws of the flesh. We must first of all hear. And in order to hear, we must have the Spirit. He that hath the spiritual ear, let him hear what Yahweh saith unto the assembly or the call out congregation. We must hear what he is speaking in this hour. Jeremiah had to hear what the Father spoke unto him. He said, first of all, hear the words of Yahweh. O ye Yehuda, that enter in at these gates to worship Yahweh. Now that is vital. If you enter into these gates to worship Yahweh, then that is the first thing. You must hear the word of Yahweh. Our minds are given over unto frivolous folly. Our minds are so easily given over to things that prosper nothing at all, that have no real true value at all. And yet when we enter into the house of Yahweh, we must be able to hear, first of all, what Yahweh says, because we come to worship Him. And if you cannot hear what Yahweh says, you can't sit in the house of Yahweh and daydream. You can't sit there and your mind is given over unto every seductive spirit there is, whereby you cannot hear Yahweh. Now the enemy is very classic when it comes to that. He has all kinds of diversions to divert the attention from hearing. It doesn't take very much to divert your attention whereby you cannot hear. The simplest and the smallest of things will divert your attention from hearing. That you can't hear what the Spirit of Yahweh says. That is like your own little personal or interpersonal things that divert your attention. What? Well, your little feelings about a certain situation. It diverts your attention from hearing even sound truth, even words of strength. Words of correction, your feelings divert your attention from that. Your anger divert your attention. Your emotions divert your attention from hearing what thus saith Yahweh. Have you ever been able to study scripture when you are angry? When you are bitter against one? When you have something in your heart or your spirit against a brother or sister, you may sit there and call yourself doing something, but you know that it's not real. You know it's not a sincere thing that you are doing. Why? Because you have denied the principles of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, and you cannot even worship Yahweh until you hear. You open your heart to hear. And he will tell you those things that are in you that must be laid down at the altar. You must repent of those things. Why? Because you have defied the laws of Almighty Yahweh. You cannot defy His laws. You cannot go beyond His laws. You cannot throw them away and supplant them with bylaws. His laws are true and righteous. They are excellent laws. They bring us into the light of His comfort. We obey Him. We don't have to be afraid of His judgment. When we disobey Him, we better fear the judgment of Almighty Yahweh. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the true living Father. A father that is a living father, when he chastens his son, the son knows that it's a terrible thing. Because he knows that father will exact vengeance. You have heard me ask the children, who would you rather spake you, your father or me? And they will say, me. Why? Because they know to fall into the hands of a living father, there is going to be correct retribution, and the judgment is going to be swift. It's going to be one that is going to be fierce, and they will know the one that has brought judgment upon them. So we better begin to hear what Yahweh says, when we come into His presence, that we may offer oblations unto Him that are acceptable. Not some free lads that we have in these whorehouses today. They literally think that that is worship because of their loudness and all of their words and how the gyrations of their bodies. That is not worship. Those things have been introduced into what we call worship by what this Christendom has called worship. I believe in raising our hands and submitting unto the authority of Yahweh, but we must hear what He has said in order to know what we're raising our hands for. They come into the house that they call the house of Yahweh, sin, their hands are filthy, with adulterous sins, lies and deception, and there is no fear at all as to what things that they are doing. They have no fear of Yahweh. They have none whatsoever. Jeremiah, as the word of Yahweh came unto him, verse 3, thus saith, or this is said unto you, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Father of Israel. He first of all tells you to amend your ways and your doings. Now it's going to start with you amending. Do you hear me? It's going to start with you getting your mind right and your spirit right. He tells you to amend, to make them right. You have torn, you have scarred. He said, amend. Know your ways, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. First of all, you trust in lying words, and He tells you, trust ye not in lying words, saying that this house of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. Now you know when you do something thoroughly? Do you understand a thorough house cleaning? When you are thorough with a house cleaning, you go to every little nugget, you go to every corner, you pull out stuff that has been there over the years, and you say, what is the purpose of this? I don't need this. I'll get rid of this. Now that is what thorough is. You must thoroughly amend your ways. There are things that you have allowed there 1 year, 10 years, 15 years, in this whole walk that you said that you have been saved. And so when you thoroughly amend, you go back. You pull out those old things that have odors and they smell. The moth is in there. They serve no purpose at all. They have no value no more than you want to hold on to them. There are things in the lives of the people of Yahweh have no value at all. They serve no purpose at all. They stink. They emit a vile, foul odor. It's nothing sweet. And you go back and clean that trash out that you have left in that drawer over the years. You have left in your spirit, your mind, and your heart. You need to clean that trash out. It has no value. But because it's you, you hold on to you, and you hold on to your ways. Well, there are things I cannot turn loose because my mother gave me that piece of cloth. What purpose is that piece of cloth? You can't even use it for garments. It will not even serve as a good dust rag. Simply because mama gave that to you. Well, there are things that mama taught me or daddy, and they are relevant. No, they are not relevant. They were wrong. They were not right. They were against the laws of Almighty Yahweh. That is why most cannot hear at the worship today. It is based upon a feel. If you feel good, then you will sing better. If you don't feel good, you don't sing. It's built upon an emotion that is stirred by flesh. And that's why you have no one consensus when the people of Yahweh come together to truly acknowledge Him. Because the ears do not hear today. We don't hear. And we start by amending. We start by thoroughly cleansing ourselves. And that is the first thing on Shabbat or gathering in the temple of, in the house of Yahweh for prayer. You must thoroughly, thoroughly amend your ways. You must thoroughly look what things or look at the things that are in your heart, your spirit and your mind. And to see whether these things have been spoken by the law of Yahweh or they're spoken by your bylaws. I know that's wrong to do, but that's your bylaw. You do that to get by the law of Yahweh. You do things to get by His laws that it will satisfy the law of your own evil, sadistic, corrupt, vile, evil, wicked heart. Do you not understand the terror that shall befall you when you will not obey the laws of Yahweh? When you will not obey Him? When He says that I will do something in true Yisrael, that they will know me. There's only one way you're going to know the Father, saints. It's not by this church attitude that's been taught. We must know Him like Scripture says. And if Scripture tells us how, we will know Him. And if we say we know Him any other way, then we are flat out liars. We don't have the truth of your way in us. For Scripture will tell us how we will know Him. It's not by denomination or church attitude or rituals. It's by what Scripture says that we will know Him. And these laws or principles must be in us to say that we know Him. And if these principles and laws are not in us, you don't know Him. You need to thoroughly cleanse yourself and get out that mama doctrine. Get out daddy's doctrine. Get out that Baptist doctrine, that Methodist doctrine, that Pentecostal doctrine. And need to get the true doctrine of Yahweh down in your soul. Only then will you truly love your brothers and your sisters. Only then will you truly love your brother and your sister. Only then can you truly love your brother and your sister? And the reason that we walk the way we do, because you have not thoroughly amended your ways. You have not thoroughly cleansed yourself. It is one thing when a parent gives a child a thorough bath. When they let them play in the water, that is not a thorough bath. When they give them a thorough bath, they will bathe them in places that the little boy doesn't like. And the little girl, she doesn't like the places you bathe her. But it's a thorough bath. You put soap and you get in the ears and you get behind the neck. And you wash their hair and to make sure that they are thoroughly, completely clean. That is what you do. And we need to thoroughly cleanse ourselves from these deceitful, lying, corrupt ways that causes you not to move into the Spirit to truly worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth. The laws of Yahweh are spiritual. Saul said, I am carnal, so unto death. And every last one of us that are carnal, you are sold unto the separation of Yahweh. But the law of Yahweh is spiritual. That's why they cannot comprehend Messiah. Because he brought forth the emphasis and emphasized the spiritual value of the law of Yahweh. That is why men reject his truth today, because it is spiritual. It goes down into a man's heart. He began to attack those things that bring life to his rebelliousness, his sin, his rejection of the truth of Yahweh. That is what any spirit is. It quickens, or it makes alive. If a wife always getting angry at the husband because that power of deception is in her, and the least thing he does causes it to come alive, and she needs to thoroughly purge and cleanse herself. If the husband is always hostile toward his wife, it's because that thing is alive in him, and when something invokes that spirit, and that is the worship, it acknowledges the spirit by invoking it, the thing comes alive, and there is a battle as what spirit of power that shall rule in one's heart. This is not some plaything. This is real, but it's spiritual. We can't be carnal. Everything that we desire is based upon our natural feelings and emotions. Everything we want is based upon the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. You need to be bathed. You need to be cleansed. Everything we desire based upon the pride of life, so that you may appear to be something in front of a wicked, corrupt, rebellious, ungenerated world, an adulterous world. That others may perceive you as prosperous or getting ahead or you look good. That is not the law of the Spirit. Cleanse your ways and amend them and make them right. That is the first order of business when we come into the house of Yahweh to worship. You must first begin to amend your ways and thoroughly amend your doings. And then there must be judgment executed. Executed. Or execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. You must make sure that judgment is pure and right. You cannot judge a brother or sister with the spirit differently than you judge yourself. It must be the same spirit of judgment. It has to have the same intensity. You must judge righteously. That is the way Yahweh judged righteously. He doesn't care a nickel's worth of fats back. Whom the personality is, he judged righteously. He deals with the sins in the heart of his people, that they may know their sins. And when they understand their sins, then they can begin to hear what he is saying. And when they hear what he is saying, then they are broken. They're contrite, and they can fall before him and truly worship him. That's a part of worshiping. Falling, prostrate, to bow down before him, that is part of worshiping. I was looking at pictures of Pope John Paul this morning. Those that had an audience with him. And literally you can see the kings, their wives, the pictures are there. They bow down before him. They kiss him. They are literally there. And they call him the holy. He's a dog. He's a vile, evil thing. And he's the father of darkness and hell. But that's what they call him. And yet our holy, hallowed is the father. We do not fall down before him. They know who they're going to. They know that they're going to John Paul. We don't even know who we're coming to. We don't know his name. We don't know of him. And there's a reason why we don't know the father. He says, I want you to know me, Israel, and there's a sure way that you will know me, and there will be no doubt at all. He says, if ye oppress not the stranger, don't be unkind to the stranger. Don't commit things upon him that you will not commit upon yourself. Don't make him go through something to worship Yahweh that you will not do. He said, the fatherless, those that have no father, you don't exact them because they have no one to supply. Like you would one that have fathers and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place. Don't sin. Don't invoke sin in the house of Yahweh. Don't create an environment whereby there's a desire to sin. You know you have sinned, and you have not truly confessed your sins, and you sacrifice a heifer or a lamb, and you know that it's wrong. That's blood that's innocent. You haven't truly repented that. He said, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. He said, when you do these things, then will I cause you to dwell. You will want to stay or live in this place. Dwell in this place. And the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Only then, when you get to that spiritual plateau or that place, will you want to be before the Father always. We don't like being before Yahweh. We don't like His Spirit. We don't like His prayer. We don't like what He requires of us. We don't like what He commands of us and demands of us. We don't like those things. But we love the things that the flesh demand. We love those things. How do you know? Well, a wife can be pregnant. She began to desire or crave something that is absurd and exotic. But the man will try all of his might to find something that is associated or close to what she desires. He will try. He will go through many lengths to require those things. And yet Yahweh requires us to obey the principles of His laws. And yet we will not allow the flesh to go through the suffering and the crucifixion to obey the spiritual laws of Yahweh. Something is wrong. Something is wrong deep in the inward parts. It is not just the external parts. One thing happened externally. There's a deep fault in the hearts. And that's why men do things. It is a manifestation and issue in their hearts. And it's manifested fleshly. That's why you need to thoroughly cleanse yourself. And amend your ways to make them right, to repent of your ways. And say, Father, I'm wrong. I won't do that again. That is not beneficial. It is not a help to the kingdom ministry. And this is a generation that's full of pride. Because they trust in just this. Verse 9. Verse 8. He said, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot prosper. Now that is what this generation trusts in. That is what you trust in, lying words. You allow your own words to deceive you. You trust in lying words. This generation trusts in lying words that do not prosper. When a man prosper, you will see that. When a man prosper naturally, he begins to raise his head up a little higher. He begins to wear more fancy clothes. When a woman prospers, she begins to wear, instead of buying the dollar pair of sunglasses, she wants a $50 or $100 pair. Instead of buying the $10 pair of shoes, she wants a $200 pair. And so their walk is different. Certainly it is. And the natural realm, their walk is different. They raise their head a little higher. They walk different. Their stroll is a lot different. So it is in the spiritual realm. Because you trust in lying words, there is no prosperity. We trust in the deception of hell. As Shaltan said to Messiah, just bow down and worship. Then the kingdom shall be yours. And everything that you see, it shall be yours. So he's telling this generation the very same thing. You worship me by giving obeisance or preferences unto your flesh. And so that is what this generation does. It gives preference to the flesh. The laws of Yahweh, they are not esteemed very highly. Because we trust in the words that are full of lies, you see very little prospering. You don't see the light of Yahweh's magnificent power shining from the countenance of the people today. You don't see the brightness of His glow flowing from the countenance of the people today. You see these disfigures, this frowning, this subdued kind of a spirit today. You don't sense that liveliness. We have a lively hope. When you think of that lively hope, it brings you alive. It makes you alive. When something that is alive is robust. When something that is alive, there's animation. It moves. And so we don't find that. We don't move, as the old saints will say, we don't move into the Spirit because we don't thoroughly examine ourselves. We come into the gate of Yahweh's house. We look at others and examine them, and we judge them, and we never judge our own corrupt heart. So we come in the same way we leave out. We come in unprosperous, and we leave out the very same way. You find nothing in the Spirit that generates a power of life and strength at all. The conversation is the same. Why? Because of the lying words you trust in. You trust in the words that your flesh speaks to you. And those words are lies. They are deception. They are words that are filled with deception. You can't trust your lying intellectual mind. It will tell you a lie. It will speak lies to you and tell you, well, this all right, that's all right. Well, don't accept that. That's what your natural mind will tell you. That's why we need to let the mind of Messiah, the same mind that he had, must be in us as well. You have all kinds of minds. You have foolish minds, wicked minds, carnal. And they're all strengthened by those things that your mind think on during the day. If you have a spiritual mind, your mind is on the Father. And so when your mind is, you're mindful of natural things, it shows you what kind of mind you have. It's not the mind of Messiah, for he had the mind to do one thing, and that was to please the Father. And that is the type of mind that we need in this hour. We need to have the mind to please you always. And that should be our desire. We spend more time trying to please the flesh. Whatever the flesh loves. Whatever our appetite is. If it's not appealing to us, then we murmur. I don't want that to eat. I don't like that. I want this. And that's what we do with the word of Yahweh. Well, I don't like that. I don't want to hear this. I want to hear that. And the reason we do that, because we have not, first of all, thoroughly cleansed ourselves and amend our ways. Now you and we have trash in us that you've had all your life. You need to mend your way. You need to thoroughly cleanse your mind and your spirit. That trash in you, well, I'm just this way. No, we are a new creature in Messiah. Behold, all things are passed away. And behold, all things, our mind is new. Our heart is new. Our spirit, our desire, our love. It's not like that trust we call love in this pagan practice that we all have practiced. We are a new creature. Behold, he said, I create all things new. He makes us new in the image of his dear Son. It starts with the hearing. We must hear. That is the profound message of Revelation. You must hear. You must have the ability to hear, because if you don't, then woe unto you. This is a generation that trusts in lying words. And to say you have not trusted lying words, you are a deceiver, you are a liar, and you are a hypocrite. You have heard things, although it did not come from the source that you thought it came from. You trusted in that. I'm preaching from the source. I'm preaching from the word of Yahweh, and it came from the Father. You trust in words that are full of lies, that have no validity, just because you trust in lying words. And you don't bring righteous judgment upon the one that speak to you the words. You just trust in lying words. And that's why there's no prosperity or no prospering. You're not full of the blessings of Yahweh. And when a man is full of the blessings of Yahweh, he delights in what Yahweh does. His heart is overjoyed when Yahweh speaks to him. His mind is enraptured when Yahweh speaks to him, and he has the ability to hear what Yahweh says. We trust in our own lying ways and deceive ourselves to literally make you think that you're doing something that is important or is right before Yahweh, and all of your righteousness is as a filthy minister rag of a woman. It's worth nothing. And you trust in your own self-righteousness. It is based upon pride. It's not based upon the law of Yahweh. You are nothing. We're going to die. You're going to be turned back to the dust of the earth. And that's a fact. If you have that kind of mindset, you are spiritually and naturally sick. Now, I want to deal with some of the message that Jeremiah began to preach in the gates of the house of Yahweh. And turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. This is a part of that message that he began to preach by the power and the Spirit of Yahweh. He says, "Oh, that my head were waters, rivers of water, fountains that could pour forth from my head, and my eyes a fountain of tears." Why, Jeremiah? The grieving for the sin of Yehudah and the house of Israel. He said, "I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." They are slain. The house and the houses that we declare that we have dedicated unto Yahweh, they have slain the people. Their sacrifices for the cause of corrupt, wicked men. That their hearts are not sincere. They hold the truth of Yahweh in unrighteousness. Even when something is revealed unto them, they are afraid to speak it because they're afraid of the retribution that the wicked will bring against them. The offerings will begin to tumble. There's not much there. And so they sell their souls, not even for a grain of salt. I'd rather have salt than a dollar. Because at least you can use salt to savor something. He said, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of the wayfaring men, a place just for those that their hearts are sincere, Yahweh. That they are real with you. If I had a lodging place just separated from them all, just for the wayfaring man, one that is just on the way, just for them. I need a place just for them." He said that I might leave my people and go from them. Why? For they be all. He did not say some, for they be all adulterous. Now we see something like that, we say, "No, I'm not an adulteress. I don't do those things. I'm not an adulteress. I'm not a liar." And yet because you say that, you are a liar. You see, when a man is being dealt with Yahweh, he began to judge himself and search his heart. And he would say, "Woe am I. A wretched thing. You're guilty of one law, you're guilty of them all. You break one, you are guilty of them all." He said that they all are adulterous, an assembly of treacherous men. They're vicious. They're corrupt. They have no pure, sincere desire for the things of Yahweh. That is this nation called America, and that is what this world consists of. Treacherous. Do you understand someone that is treacherous? They will smile in your face, and then they will lie. With their lying, deceitful tongue, they will speak against you. And yet, when they're in your face, they will speak words of great flattery. They will flatter you. I say to all of you all, anytime a brother or sister will come to you and lie against one brother or sister, or to speak constantly against brothers or sisters and find nothing that of importance in them, then that one will do the same against you. And that one that does that is more deceitful than the ones they speak against. Because they have not judged themselves. They are full of lies. They are hypocrites. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a black woman or a black man or a white woman or a white man. It makes no difference at all. they're more deceitful than the one that they're talking against. Because if they had any spirit of Yahweh, then they would pray. They trust their lying words. And then they will say things that they don't even know. They will say things that they add to those lies because they love lying words. And you will say, how do you know that? Where did you get that from? They are deceivers and they're going to hell. I don't care who you are. It makes no difference who you are. You trust in the truth. That's why there is not a consensus of worship, because we trust in lying words. Well, it doesn't take all that. I don't feel good today. I don't feel like doing that. That's what we speak to ourselves. And yet when it comes time to satisfy a fleshly craving, you feel like doing that. You got the energy to do that. You got the spirit to do that. But when it comes to doing those things that are principles by the laws of Yahweh, I don't feel like it. It doesn't take that. I don't believe I have to do that. Well, let me tell you, my friend, it's going to take more than that. For if the righteous or the elect of Yahweh shall scarcely make it, judgment must first be begun at the gate of Yahweh's house. And we that say that we are the elect of Yahweh, we scarcely make it. Where shall the unholy, the vile and the filthy, where shall they appear before Yahweh? Tell me. Scarcely. And this is a generation that love lies and lying words. And the reason they will speak lying words to you, hear me, my friends, is to draw you under that very same spirit, to show biases unto the very same spirit that put life in them. I despise liars. Because that is of the spirit of Shaitan. The scripture said that Shaitan was a liar from the beginning, and he abode not in truth. He flat out lied. I despise liars. I despise the countenance of a liar. I despise them. No liar is going into the kingdom of Yahweh. And you that will easily lie, thank you, Father. I don't even know why I'm expressing this. But undoubtedly, we are liars in here. You that love to lie like that, woe unto your wretched, wicked, vile soul. You better go back to the first implication of this message. Hear, first of all, Yahuta. You better hear. And then when you begin to hear, you better stand still and allow Yahweh to cut, to prune you, because he is a husbandman. And to show you your vile, undegenerate ways that have produced nothing but lies and corrupt fruit. It has not produced the fruit of life or the fruit of righteousness. It's only produced corrupt fruit. And a liar is a deceiver. And a liar deceives their own hearts to believe that they are telling the truth, although they know that they are lying. That's why you need to be slow to speak and quick to hear. You should not be so quick to talk. When you find someone coming to you that is so quick to talk, that is the first thing that Shaitan did with Messiah. When you find the same one that will talk about things that are insignificant, and yet there is no law of the Spirit, they never talk about Scripture, you better watch out for your own soul, because they're coming to corrupt it. That's what the devil did. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of Yahweh, for his witness is true. His witness is true. What I said, I don't know why I said that. When I began to deal with a certain spirit, I can sense from the countenance of the people. Now, I can literally go out here and lay my hands on some of you all and show you the ones whereby that scripture is definitely appropriate for you. Because I watch the countenance as it changes. I watch how you become disinserted. I watch how your attention span. I watch how you begin to allow your mind to move away from that. Because that's the way you are. And you are a deceitful child of hell too. So I can tell. For Messiah knew the heart of man. His word discerns the heart of man. And it shows you what's in your heart. That is what it does. And so that word certainly was for you. You better thoroughly amend and cleanse your ways.
That's why Yahweh doesn't want us talking so much. He wants us to be quiet. To learn that you may preserve your soul in quietness. That's how you do it. Yeah, you preserve your soul in quietness. Learning how to be quiet. Hallelujah. Yeah, they're you that are truly upset, aren't you? Good, you child of darkness. You're deceitful. Liar. Doesn't make any difference. Because that's you. You can get ashes, they come. Your countenance can become beet red. It makes no difference at all.